the next ditch over there, I think we can have a little more better view of the walls of this.
Another 5 minutes of mythology has just been recorded.
Down there at the bottom, that was the cat wall, where in the center of it, always the head of the family used to be buried. All around him, members of his family, with their little entries, buried with them to be used in their next life. And if you look up there you can see also the rest of the occupation. While that living was still a portion of the stone, that all, according to the theory of Miss Kenyon, might be the walls of Jericho. It's still down in the 7 days. As you can see, these stairs here, that is, that been brought from those ditches, especially when the Germans worked in a sea crossing, but they did not succeed, so they have to, or it's made by the time, those pieces of Roman which we call them killed.
The wall.
That
was right there.
Geometrically known in the archaeology. Piece of Roman, one over there. While also we have another part of this, so this is in our new bag.
Mother.
They had evacuated the houses and led their way to the east bank of Jordan for security.
For who?
Who? When they captured them, they were for the captain. The refugees were concentration
camps. It seems that the Christians, or Christianity, in other words, when it was introduced to this city, they did not know what was mentioned in the Old Testament about scarce the one who even thinks to rebuild the walls of Jericho. They had settled themselves for a very little while here, and then they had moved from here to the modern Jericho, and therefore they had neglected the whole thing. But still, at the back of it, down there in the ditch, you had seen also the continuation of those archaeological levels. Now, as we are in the wilderness of Judea, let's say about 2 miles to the north from where we are, we have one of those early Muslims of the 7th century called the Umayyad Caliphs. Matter of fact, here, as a result of the research carried on in the whole wilderness, here and in the east bank of Jordan, we have found about 14 of those royal Umayyad palaces still in a good condition. But all the rooms, the floors were all made of mosaics, still existing in a very good shape, and the other decorations, especially the rooms, that they are all decorated with many figures of animals and birds and dancers and all what they need. And their capital was, as you know, in Damascus first, but they were living in a kind of a luxurious life. They had used the Byzantine to build the buildings for themselves, but in spite of that luxurious life, their maidens did not like that life. They always prefer to live in a kind of a nomadic life. And there is a fact mentioned by one of those Muslim caliphs of the 7th century. He was married by a young, beautiful girl, but every morning he used to visit or to see her crying and shouting and so on. Told her, "What's wrong with you? I am the master of all Muslims. I can build you a palace wherever you like." She told him to put on long, coarse dresses better than to put on silk, and to live in a tent much more better than to live in a palace. Please divorce me and send me back to the Badia, to the desert, to live. For the sake of such maidens, they had built those very many buildings in the heart of the wilderness. So far we found 14 royal Umayyad palaces in the whole wilderness, still in a very good condition with nice mosaics and so on. You to look straight ahead to the south. There at the foot of the mountain, there is a grove of green pine trees. Can you see it?
Yeah.
There is a building, little shrine, just exactly down, little bit, sloping down that grove of green trees. There is also a protruding shell. Can you see it? Piece of ruins. This is the location of the second Jericho, which existed in the time of the law. So that is the second Jericho. This is the first one, that is the second one, and that is the third one. We have three Jerichos here, and we are below the sea level, and soon we are on our way to the Dead Sea, where to be on the deepest spot in the world, which is located about 1,300 feet below the sea level. We are going there now, and before we leave this place on our way down, let's visit together the Elijah Prophet. Do this thing here, it will drop and thus water the whole city of Jericho, in addition to the garden city. Since it was healed by Prophet Elijah, it became to be the main source of watering Jericho from that time so far up to this. So that is like a bomb. While we are in the city, maybe if somebody got any questions.
I don't know why he eats water. One of course, he is pregnant, and believes what I do. And they complain to Elijah about it because the water is brilliant and turns the meal on
it.
May I have your kind attention, please? We are driving now to the Red Sea. Is there anybody of you who has in mind to be in the Red Sea?
Yeah.
That's right. Thank you. Then we just go there. Those ones who decided to bathe in the Dead Sea, they have to be careful not to let the water go inside the stomach. And whenever they prepare themselves, they have to take off their watches from their wrists. You can't swim there. You can't swim because it's heavy. You always lift it up. So even if you don't know to swim, it's very easy. Then just sit in the water. Would you like to buy oranges or some fruits?
No.
Now to the sea, at the northward shore of the sea, we are going to visit the most famous site known by Qumran, Qumran. That site where the Dead Sea Scrolls were excavated in the summer of 1947. The most successful findings in this century were the excavations of Qumran and those precious findings of the Dead Sea Scrolls, which you will be seeing those scrolls when you come up to Jerusalem in some of the visits in the east, in the west Jerusalem, in the new town.
Monastery built in the 18th century known
and the cloister of St. Cosimas of Damascus. Built under the traditional girder where prophet Syria was sent by raven. As you know, the prophet Syria all the time was flying away from the vengeance of that wicked queen, Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab of the northern kingdom of Israel, who introduced the worship of Baal into Samaria, which later on, by the good king of the last king of Judea, first century, they had been wiped out. So that is still existing, and even in the United States, in dry days of Salem during the rainy season, to come down or to drive down to Jericho, as they have all gone away, there you will be seeing the beauty of the wilderness. Still, it is very good condition, and the Greek Orthodox cloister is still inhabited by Greek Orthodox Franks.
Those Franks, six of them at least, were living in hand caves. But the last one of those six died 6 years. They never left the cave, which they are hand in the rocks. All the ones came up by a number of roads to get down to the river at the Mediterranean to fish for sure. But their film was trying to make the nice tasty pictures. So far, there are one back, but the closer and the closer and the only one still existing eventually. Now we have the belief that those congregations
producing there some vegetables, beans, cabbages,
and found the Sumatra's possession. And maybe in due time, the whole area would be a living area, but it should yield thanks to the very deep irrigation from the Yoga River water or from the only Speed River at the shore of the Dead Sea. Besides, the gathering of the rainwater from in the good rainy season down there in most areas, and so it needs irrigation. Now, by the way, after 60 minutes was last year finished, there was a kibbutz built there, and it was for the mountains of Qumran, and it's part of that they are trying to grow fish after sweeping the land. They have made a big fisheries, and I hope that they will succeed. So maybe this time you will have much fish from the Dead Sea. That is, this is, as we can say, that this is the land of miracles. That's the no man's land here. This takes you to a man. That bridge here is good. The only crossing point is this, an empty bridge which you cross from, which was closed in the last 2 days. And I was expecting to meet you this morning at the other bridge, at the Adana bridge. But it is good that it was open just because of the big flood. As a result of unexpected storm, heavy storm of rain from last week so far today. So it might be in Jerusalem still possibility of rain. As you can see here, we have the heat today about 18 centigrade, but in Jerusalem it was only 8. And this is why the many people who can afford the expenses of others would like to be in Jericho in a nice special river, tropical river. The air building at the shore of the sea here facing you used to be an hotel, first class hotel during the German time. But after 67, it's a military zone now, and even the whole building satisfied, that is the professional factories during German time. Now, if you as we are driving by from the inside, there you can see those pools, which used to be built by water from the Dead Sea. And by evaporation, they used to come in the water salt. And you will see the part of those water sheets over there after evaporation. Now, the mountains of Qumran is becoming more clear, and maybe when we are coming to visit the ruins of Qumran, there will be possibility for you to see Mount Nebo that is clear.
Of can not see her own to find itself any game. And in that case, there were 21 jars, kilograms in shape, 50 centimeters flat. They became very much excited because they were anticipating to find a big treasure of pearls in the shop. And then they began to break those jars. But certainly they became disappointed because they found nothing jars of those empty and heavy jars only filled for the girls. Those 21 jars were arranged in three lines, hidden jars on each line. The shoemaker was clever that he showed those clothes later to his archbishop. The archbishop, because he didn't follow the arm of a genius man living in Bethlehem, showed the clothes to Dr. Sotterick at the Hebrew University and an American scholar called Dr. Jean Trevor to the American School of Oriental Research, when both discovered that this is something of great value. That bishop, after knowing what great treasure he got, he took the advantage of the province of Falcon. That is why smuggled himself and his club to the States, where there he sold them by $250,000. He is still there. Now the difference came to the antiquities dealer, to the shoemaker, wanted to kill him after he did all that great treasure in the lab. And then we was obliged to reconcile him according to the federal law. But then later, he became a very good friend of them to retrieve them from those crimes. But then again, and he began to work illegally in the area because they are the only people who could work illegally. And they succeeded to find the good deal of those crimes, which at the beginning, when they discovered what they dragged in the suppose that the gentleman illegally found a big piece of the crime. He used to cut it and to lift it into his tiny feet. Yet I could assure you that the only one who was able to buy or to make a negotiation with your country was the Rockefeller Museum. Just because Rockefeller had extra funds to this splendid work. And each cubic centimeter that goes through the museum was Rockefeller about 5 American dollars. Now, let me say that we have the majority of those goods still in the hands of the authorities concerned when they are building the kind of a special building called the Jerusalem by the Shrine of the Book, which you will be visiting sometime later on. Now, we are coming here to the site of Qumran, where this story is now. Excuse me for a minute, I want to buy the tickets for the Professor, there was a joint expedition from the École Biblique School in Jerusalem, known by the Dominican Fathers, the Rockefeller Museum, and the Department of Antiquities of Jordan, worked for 5 seasons here in this excavation, when they were lucky to find a quite good deal. But the folk beside the collection book from those countries that we used to keep before 67 in the Rockefeller Museum the remains of 600 clubs. And we used to keep the Rockefeller and international biblical scholars there to put those tiny brittle fragments together to translate that very little tiny portion which has been translated. They did not find a big difference between the old testament we are using now and that book writing so far, but what will follow, we don't know. So we are waiting to hear from the scholars what was the continuation of it. Now, as long as we are here, please, let us leave the bus and go up there, take it forward to see the whole thing from there.
Well, by the way, I don't want to flatter myself. I would like to tell you that I was a man responsible for this excavation for 2 years, since I was working as an assistant librarian at Rockefeller Museum for 26 years. So I held the excavations for 2 years. Now, by the way, now, let's go back a little bit to those people who were living here. As I mentioned to you, they were called the Essenes. These are the S-E-N-E-S. So, an Essene is an Aramaic word, means to heal. They were known by the teachers of righteousness. And somebody at the beginning thought that both the Lord Jesus and John the Baptist were members of the Essenes, but later on they discovered that they were not members, but because they were wandering in the wilderness, they had passed by this congregation and held a part of their common meetings. And they had been, they fell under the influence of their teachings. And it is said that the Essenes, if I want to define the Dead Sea Scrolls, as a matter of fact, I could say that they are actually the real backbone of the real Judaism and the beginning of Christianity. And could add another item to say that even those Essenes, we have a belief that they are the first ones who accepted the Lord Jesus. So we could say that the Essenes were the first Christians. Especially, as you know, that all their scrolls were found in caves and in grottos. At the beginning, they had enough time to wrap the scrolls by linen and to save them in jars with a very nice closing them up. But it happened that when they saw that they were about to be invaded by the Romans, they had no enough time to make the same operation as to have the scrolls away. Therefore, they began to make an artificial cave in the surrounding of their settlements, where we are standing on the tower of that settlement, just only to keep the scrolls away. But maybe the question will come to say that why they had intended to hide the scrolls away. We have two main reasons. One of them, which is naturally to keep it away from the sight of the enemy. Secondly, which is very most important, you see, after the split of the religious headquarters of the Jews, so the religious headquarters split themselves to be in a place called Yavna, which is south of Ashdod at the coast of the Mediterranean. And those people, as they were a part of the Hasidim, the religious people of the Jews, they have came them down here. So those people, because they were very religious and it possibly accepted the Lord, they were afraid that their writings and teachings will fall in the hands of the religious headquarters of the Jews, and therefore they had made or intended to hide them in jars and in caves, because they didn't want this cross to fall in the hands of the religious headquarters of the Jews. Those people left Jerusalem in the 200 BC just because of the corruption of the Jews, which was prevailing in all Jerusalem. So they came at the beginning to the valley of Akur at the side of the old Roman road I told you about when we were in the bus, and then they had settled themselves here. According to Josephus Flavius, that old famous Jewish historian, he mentioned that this congregation were obliged to abandon this settlement from 30 BC for the sake of a horrible earthquake took place here, which now I will show you the relics of that earthquake. Where they abandoned the place, we don't know. But the same people, 4 BC, came back, restored the damage took place by the earthquake, and built on the side of the old one another city. So this was the oldest one where we are staying on, which was in fact the watching tower used by the Essenes at the beginning, and later by the Romans when they invaded them at 68 AD. Now, after 68 AD, we don't know any news about it. So far, after Professor Yigal Adi, 1963, excavated the fortress of Masada, there they had found on the top, beside the synagogue at Masada Fortress, just 15 scrolls. They were one century later than the Dead Sea Scrolls. And then Professor Yigal Adi thought that what remained of this religious Essenes possibly had joined the Zealots at the top of the fortress of Masada. What if we haven't got any other registrations beyond? Now, since the expedition came here, for sure, because we were very much excited, then we began our research on the mountain here with the solid rock caves, as you can see there. We have searched more than 300 caves on this solid rock mountains, but we were not able to find a single piece of the stones. Then we came down here, and we were disappointed. Where we are, it was just a little mound covered by debris and earth and so on. And as we began to excavate, and we found something to encourage us to remove the whole surplus of earth from the top, and we had found this monastery. When we found this monastery, then it brought some little light on the thing. Especially when we found, as you will see them now, about 13 water cisterns. Because the congregation must find out the source of water. And the only source of getting water here was rainwater. As to get the water or to collect the rainwater from the mountains, if you look at the foot of the mountain there, there is a path which is the ruins or the remains of the main aqueduct which used to collect the water of the rain from the mountains to the many cisterns here. As you look there you can see that one round one at the source of water. And the only source of getting water here was rainwater. As to get the water or to collect the rainwater from the mountains, if you look at the foot of the mountain there is a path which is the ruins or the remains of the main aqueduct which used to collect the water of the rain from the mountains to the many cisterns here. As you look there you can see that one round one. At the top of each one of those cisterns, there is a hole for the water to leave for the other cistern to be filled by the rainwater and so on. Now, another question had been raised. Suppose that it was dry season for 2-3 years. What they could do? From where can they get water? Then we turned our activities about 2 miles to the south, where we found, beside that, only sweet river there, which is known in the Bible by En Zokim, nowadays locally known by the fountain of Pasha. We had found there the workshop and the farm of those Essenes. So it means everything had been solved as long as we had found those. And there in the workshop, they used to prepare the parchment to write the skulls on, which means the skin of sheep of sacrifice. They used to make it as to write the Dead Sea Scrolls on. Then we came here and then went outside the limits of the boundary of the settlements. We found the cemetery. When we had cleared 5 tombs there, we had found in one of those a necklace belonged to a woman. Then we said, how then came that in the life of this religious people? This confused the minds of the scholars until later they had stated that possibly the cemetery itself had been reused by the Romans, who re-inhabited themselves for a while here in this spot. So then again we turn our activities on the whole surrounding, which, as you can see, this ditch here, it was not existing. The whole thing was just a plain. What was visible, just small holes, small strips along the slopes of the hill, that we began to enlarge such slopes, luckily, to find ourselves in caves. And the first one which was found here was cave number 4, where the majority of the skulls were found in that cave, which I will show it to you. And then after that, we had continued on researching to find 7 caves here, very close by the monastery they lived, and the majority of the skulls were found in. While the other 4 caves, just about 2 miles to the north, the first one which was found by the Belt, the shepherd, in the summer of 1947. In cave number 2, have you been in the Museum of Amman, by the way? Have you seen Museum of Amman? Well, in cave number 3, we had found 2 copper skulls. The only 2 copper skulls which were sent in 1951 to Manchester University in London, where there Professor Baker succeeded to open these skulls by cutting them into vertical pieces. And the translation says that there was a big hoard of treasury, 200 tons of pure silver and gold, buried between the mountains of Hebron in the south and Samaria in the north, which also added another difficulty to the minds of the scholars. But later on, they found out that the man who wrote such skull was a crazy man, wanted to entertain himself in writing some false things, especially when they were very religious and poor sects. Now, the very interesting thing in this, I want you all to approach here and see, that this monastery itself got 2 entrances. Can you see? This is an entrance here, just right down, and there is another entrance. Now, taking this one first, this will lead you to the domestic quarter where those people live in. By the way, the whole number of the Essenes were about 5,000 to 6,000 in number. They lived in an area of about 6 miles, from south to the north of the monastery. But among those, we have the very strict religious sect, not exceeding more than 200 in number. So they were the ones who lived here. Now this leads you into the domestic quarter they lived in, and that is the oven at the corner, round mud one beside the wall, and that is the workshop and the kitchen over here. Now, we can take that most important entrance there, which takes you into the confidential meeting room. Now, there is at the entrance there, there is a portion of the tower. Can you see it? That tower here, the entrance, in front of you, that is for a man to guard the people while they are in their confidential meetings inside there. So when they are in such meetings, they are not allowed to leave the room, even if the meeting lasted late in the night. So suppose that somebody would like to come out today. He could not leave. He has to shout from inside, water. Then the guard will bring the water from the system and pour it through that hole. Can you see the hole? This hole will lead the water into a basin inside the room, and that was the way they did. Now suppose that after the meeting they have some curriculum would like to distribute on the communication, so they will pass it to the scriptorium room. In that scriptorium room, we have found five benches and desks with some inkstands of both bronze and pottery, where the discussions were written over here. Now, so far, this is the confidential room. So at the other section was that notice board there, that long room, that was the dining room for the common meeting room that everybody of the congregation and even guests could attend such meetings, common meetings. And that is a part of the meetings there filled sometimes by the Lord Jesus and John. Well, now let's go down that way. We don't have to see the room carefully. Okay. I do say what? I said they lived here, but they came there, not in the mountains.
Oh.
You have to forget everything about the mountains. Nothing in the mountains. Just in the very nearby.
Yeah,
in the nearby. Artificially made. Artificially made because you have no power.
I see.
Yeah, they can walk into the room. Original as it was found from the 2nd century BC, 200 BC. In other words, Joseph is lived here from 200 BC until 68 AD, with the exception of a little gap from 30 BC until 4 BC, when the same people came back here and restored the damage I told you. Now, let me show you the scriptorium, which is very interesting here also. Everybody of us know that the skin or the parchment, when it is not in use, it will be hard to deal with. Therefore, those people, before beginning to write the stones on those parchments, see this, here were the benches and this, and here this little basin used to be filled by water, as to dip the parchment in, as to make it a little bit soft before beginning it to write. So they might just put that parchment, let us say, for 5-10 minutes, in order to get lighter, and then in this way it will be very easy to write, otherwise it will be very hard to deal with. So this is where we found five benches and desks with inkstands of both front and back. He had a little two candles that with two companions of his friend, they had enlarged that hole, luckily to find a very good big treasure there. Then you see, in the morning they quarreled with each other, that the military came and arrested them, especially the team. We used to work in the daytime and sleep in that military camp there. We could not sleep here. But they, as Bedouins, they don't care. So cave number 4 is considered to be the most important cave out of the whole caves, because the majority of the skulls were found in it. For instance, we have found the famous Manual of Discipline, the 12 Minor Prophets, Habakkuk Commentary. They have found also the 10 Commandments, Song of Moses. But cave number 1, the main scroll was Isaiah book, 66 chapters. That is the $250,000, which is still kept in the museum. You can see inside is a little book by 1.5 meters long, 1 meter wide, in which the whole of the majority of the scrolls were found. So that is supposed to be cave number 4. And a similar opening
From the next door, where you can go, next door, we have the same opening which takes the end to number 5 and 6. That is one of the cases for you. 7, 8 down here, 9 and 10, behind the corner. So we have the living cave very close by the monastery where the people live, and they have run and just engaged themselves so far as to make this artificial cave, especially when they saw that they were about nearly invaded by the Romans. So they have made this artificially because it is a very light, sandy hill. And then they have casted this fold in, and this is why we have found the portion of the fold not in a very good condition, possibly because carbon dioxide and also the moisture has affected them sometimes in some way. But still,
portion of the area separating the territory of Jordan from the territory of Syria from Israel. And now we are coming to pass by the no man's land between Jordan and Israel. Same thing as you saw this morning when you crossed the bridge. You left Jordan and then Israel received you. The way which was prevailing actually from 38 to 67 in Jerusalem, when the only crossing point between Jordan and Israel in those days after 67 was the Mandelbaum Gate, which is in Jerusalem. Rain sometimes very heavily, but soon it gets dry. And this is why, as we are driving up to Jerusalem, through the wilderness of Judea, you will be seeing those hills of Judea. All the time, now you can find a little bit green because of the rainy season. But next month, for instance, at the end of it, you will find the whole way barren. So, the only time in the year will be green just after the first rain falls. Unfortunately, for this season, was a very, very bad rainy season. We did not have enough rain even the whole year, but it was lucky and was good that this last week it began to rain. That some floods took place here specially on the way to Iran and to the way to Masada, that the road in many ways was broken. That is the only rain we could see that we received this year. It is even, it is strange to imagine that in December, while Christmas was on, it was very, very sunny, very sunny time. And even it was my stomach. And now it came to me to get cold this last week. Though it is abnormal, but sometimes I think it goes to a group. Anyway, this very cold storm had came from Turkey to Cyprus and here. And now it is about to leave. But one thing would like you to remember, that 150 million years ago, in a very, very ancient period, the whole Bay of Jordan, I brought it to you from the ruins, was covered by the water of the Great Lake, which is now the Dead Sea. The Great Lake, which was known in those days by Telisan, E-L-L-I-S-A-N, which means, have the shape of funk. And since 1,000 years ago, as a result of geological alteration and the volcanoes, the Jordan Valley was formed. So we can say that the Jordan River only dates back to 1,000 years ago. Jordan, as you come here to the Nile, you are coming to see Jordan. Maybe somebody of you would like to know why it is called Jordan. Now, in the word Jordan, you will find that it has two syllables. Say the first one, Jor, and the last one is Dan. So Jor and Dan were two small rivers, two rivers, sources of the Jordan River. We have Galatians saying that once upon a time, both sources were together. They have asked the Lord in Galatians,
Dan asked him out to judge him free. And they told Dan, of Israel, the Lord came down and told him, advised him, in this state is to unite. Hinting, John and Dan united and called Jordan. That is only the reason. But the reason of the thing is, because of the ancient and distant of the Jordan River, especially when it comes from Hermon Mountain, 3,000 feet high, down to 400 or 1,500 feet, the Hermitianism, that deep distance, which was called Jordan, for the sake of that. But the one there, the whole area we are visiting from both sides, used to be covered by the great lake of Elisan. And you will see now, if you look from the right side of the river of Mississippi, there you can see the ocean and the Brazil, which once upon a time, hundreds of 15 million years ago, was covered by the sea. Now, in other words, now, if we are coming to see now, we are coming up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is located on about 24 or 2500 feet over the sea level and around 3600 feet over the sea level. Now, the drive from Jerusalem to Jericho will take us normally 1 hour. Now, when we come to the step of the sea level, which soon we come to step beside it, then we can find out that there is a difference of the pressure of air pressing on the human body in about 200 tons of the human body. That the people who are suffering from the sea sickness, when they come to the sea level spot, they will feel that by their ears. All those hills here to my side, to my right, this area all were covered once upon a time by the water of the Red Sea. And soon we are leaving to the left side of the main road, the shrine, known by the Muslims as Prophet Moses' Shrine. The bigger it looks, it is a long story. It has nothing to do with the story of Moses, since we know that Moses was shown the Holy Land, Prophet of Mount Nebo. But the second death, they were not more than strategic military force, founded by the Muslims against the Crusades, in case the Crusades decided to come back. But still called Prophet Moses' Shrine. I will point it to you now, which is the military zone. thermal, H-E-R-M-O-N. H-E-R-M-O-N.
For the sake of the parable, so what's the good Samaritan in? By the way, while it is still day, never mind, a few minutes, for those who would like to have a very good picture, climb up the bit and take a picture from there. That word kibbutz, or kibbutzim, plural of the singular kibbutz, means cooperative society. We have quite a good number of those kibbutzim here in the country. We have around 260 kibbutzim, and we have the same number, the other kind of the kibbutz called moshav. Now, there is a big difference between the number of the kibbutz and the number of the moshav. M-U-S-H-A-M, that the member of the kibbutz never own a land, while the member of the moshav could own the land. That is one of the differences, and also, the majority, even all of the moshav members are religious, while the kibbutz members are non-religious. I could say, out of the 26 kibbutz here in the country, we have around 10 kibbutz religious. What the others are non-religious. But nice to tell you that even the most popular military people coming from the members of the kibbutz, 50% of the very important leaders of the military are members of the kibbutz. And the other 15,000 living scattered the north part of the country. Those veterans, so far up to date, they are holding their traditions and in the Shiva every Thursday morning, the whole year around, they have their famous Bedouin market in the Shiva, which used to be known at the time of the British Mandate by the Camel Market. In Jerusalem still, we have what we call it by the Sheep Market. That is a very old tradition, even dates back from the time of King Solomon, which is still existing so far up to date, that every Friday the whole people from the countryside come to that market to participate in that cheap market, which is located at the corner of the old city wall of Jerusalem. We have very many interesting stories with about this. As you know, Bedouins, they are holding still a very noble tradition. Even if somebody of the people was lost in the wilderness and caught by the Bedouin, he needs not to be worried. The Bedouin will take him and bring to his tent and keep giving him and offering him hospitality for 3 days. It is a shame for a Bedouin to ask his guest anything before 3 days. So he must keep on giving his hospitality for 3 days, while at the third day he will approach to say, what can I do? Then the man will say that I am so and so left from the certain area, and that person will take him safely back home, riding his, giving his coming to ride on their way. Even if he wants to invite you for lunch, he will never say, may I have lunch with you? He always say, can I have the pleasure of having a cup of coffee with you? It means that you are invited for lunch. What is the lunch? What is the meal? It is a great popular meal known by the Bedouins as Minsaf, M-I-N-S-A-F. And it is composed of a thin lamb killed and cleaned, cooked in the yogurt, and then they will bring a big dish. At the bottom of the dish, they will put 2 big local bread and add the cooked yogurt on the bread to be soft, and on the top of it, they will add the rice. On the top of the rice, the cooked lamb whole will be put on the top, and then the host will take you towards your right hand, and within your right hand, you begin to move to make those small balls and throw it in the mouth. And then you go and wash.
And again, he will greet you by a few drops of blame for the specially made by the Bedouin, with the used to add on the coffee when they are preparing it, the kind of spice is called hell, cardamom we call it, and to give a very delicious taste to the coffee. Before giving you few drops of the coffee in the cup, the host will drink before you and even eat from the meal, before you eat and before you drink, in order to let you be sure that it is not a poisonous. And that is the way we are expecting their tradition so far up to date. We have 26,000. In the Sheba's area, 13,000. In the area, not in the city, in the area of the Sheba, 13,000 Bedouins. And as you know, their religion is Muslim. And according to the Muslims, they could marry as much as they could afford to. And there is a big popular story that a chieftain of one of those Bedouin tribes called Sheikh Suleiman, he was married only by 39 wives. And he was looking forward to make his wives 40. One morning while he was riding his horse there, he met a nice girl and said, "This must be my 40 wife." Then he stopped and asked, "Look here, girl, what's your name?" The girl was astonished and told him, "Go away, otherwise I will kill my father." That Sheikh Suleiman asked her, "Who is your father? I want to know." She said, "Go away, my father is Sheikh Suleiman." He was meeting with his daughter without knowing her, because he was married with 39 wives. Nowadays, Muslims of Jewry are leaving this tradition, and most of them are not married, especially the modern Muslims, more than one. The Council of the Apostles, otherwise sometimes they call it by the Council of the Sun, which was the separation line between Benjamin and Judea. Now I can say we are leaving Judea, and now we are in Benjamin again. We left Judea. You see, Jerusalem, and especially when you are walking down in the city, you will be very much excited, and maybe you will run to buy and buy and so on souvenirs. Better not to be very much excited at the beginning. And don't forget that still you have the best articles to be collected when you go and visit that land. As the best souvenirs you can give it, to take it from there. Especially pure olive wood and the mother of pearl and some other souvenirs. Besides that, for those who are interested in the country as to collect slides, they are selling a bucket of slides, selected 100 chosen slides with a cassette and a booklet to give you the whole explanation. So what was mentioned in the scripture, especially as you know, the religious Orthodox Jews on the Sabbath days could not make a journey longer than this Bethany trip, only in the Sabbath days. Well, I think so far, as long as we have a bus there, it means that the place is open, and still we have due time, and now please, without hesitation, let us go down and begin our visits first in the church, to let you see the ruins of the old house of Mary and Martha, and then to return the flowers, in order to cover all before we go. As you like then, all right, we will begin with the tour then. Okay. That is Rockefeller Museum, where your uncle died, spent here 26 years. I worked here in this 26 years. I got my degree of archaeology here in this. That is the sheep market. Sheep market. actually to give you the impression of the old city for the first time in Jerusalem for those who are not here before. That is Herodos Gate, one of the gates within the old city wall of Jerusalem. General Post Office is the East Jerusalem. Let's say this area is the East Jerusalem or the old city inhabited by the Arabs. While, as a matter of fact, we have in both West and East Jerusalem around 350,000 people living in it. Out of those, we have about 80,000 Arabs living in the old city of Jerusalem. But within the walls, we have around 25,000 living inside the walls. This is a new street called Salah al-Din Street, and the new section which was erected and founded after the war of 1948.